I'm going to wait for those that are struggling. I get it. Lord, in Jesus' name, Father, I thank you for every single person, God, that's under the sound of my voice. And Lord, right now, you know exactly how they came into this service right now. Father, for the ones that have struggled with depression all week, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I speak right now a comfort and a healing. Lord, I thank you right now that joy is returning to them. Father, I thank you right now that healing is entering into the bodies of your kids right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do in this service. God, you're a good God. Lord, there's nobody else like you. And so, God, I thank you for being who you are this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to welcome everybody here this morning. And this is a teaching church. And one of the jobs of the pastor, if you've got a good pastor, and I believe that you do. Amen. Now look here, if I can't kid with you, you're going to hate coming to church here because I kid a little bit. That's how we get through life, is that we can laugh about certain things. But one of the things that a pastor should do is you have to stick to the word. You can't stray off and preach things. I've heard pastors and preachers quote things in the Bible that are not even in the Bible. And then I've heard them twist things to what they wanted them to sound like. And I don't believe in that, because I believe that causes confusion, and that God holds pastors accountable for that confusion that they cause. And so I try to stick very close to the Word of God. And a good pastor will bring a challenge. They will bring a challenge. And if the message doesn't challenge you in some way, there was something missed there. Okay? And so I want to just, from the bottom of my heart, tell you guys thank you for letting me be the pastor that God wants me to be. Amen. I know that sometimes what I say, it may sound gruff. I never mean it to sound gruff, but I don't believe in sugarcoating the Word of God. I also don't believe in being mean to folks, but I do believe in challenging people. I believe that that's how people grow. There is no growth that happens without a challenge. Growing is challenging. And this morning, I am going to bring a word of comfort, and I'm also going to bring challenge. I'm going to speak this morning, and the title of my message is Relentless Goodness. Relentless Goodness. God is a good God, and God is good to his children. Amen. I hate hearing pastors preach, and they make God sound mean, and people are intimidated by that God. Amen. And God is not a mean God. God is a very loving and merciful God. Go with me to Psalms chapter 23. We're going to look at verse 6. And God began to put this message in my spirit really the whole week. God is so good to us. God loves you. He's a good God, and God is looking for ways to be good to his kids. Psalms chapter 23, verse 6. Surely, for sure, definitely, absolutely, without a doubt, guaranteed. See, when we read the word, we need to ask God, Lord, help me to digest your word. Help it to sink in. Whatever you can understand, you can apply in your life, and you can plant it in your heart. Surely, it is a for sure thing. Goodness and love will follow me all of the days of my life. In another translation, it says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all of the days of my life. And I want to tell you this morning that the goodness and the love and the mercy of God, it follows God's kids. it follows them. And the Word of God says it right here, that it follows you. That means that there is, around every believer, that there is shreds of evidence that follows them, that says this person right here is a child of God. That goodness and that love and that mercy follows you. We need to get out of a mentality where we're negative Nancy constantly. Amen? You need to, on your very bad days, you need to look behind you and you need to say that God, in the name of Jesus, you said it in your word, that goodness and love and mercy, that it will follow me all of the days of my life. And because your word is true, because you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, that means that your word does not change. And so God, because your word doesn't change, I can trust you. I can count on you. And Lord, it doesn't matter what it looks like. There's too many believers and we are paying too much attention to what the situations look like and our faith is decreasing just like the devil wants it to. You need to look behind you and you need to understand the ground that God has helped you to cover. And that same God that says mercy and goodness and love is going to follow you, that same God will get you wherever you need to go. Amen. So that goodness is following you all of the days of your life. That is something that you should proclaim over your life constantly. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What does that mean? I'm going to dwell with God. God's going to dwell with me. I ain't leaving God and God ain't leaving me. Amen. There should be evidence, and there is evidence that someone is a child of God, and he says it in his word. Go with me now to Lamentations chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 21 through 23. Lamentations chapter 3. Verses 21 through 23. Verse 21, it says, "Yet this I call to mind. Yet this I remember. Yet this I look back and I can see this. Yet this I call to mind." There's times where you don't feel like goodness and mercy is following you. And I will remind you time and time again, I quote this in almost every message, feelings are not facts. Amen. And just because you feel like the goodness and mercy of God aren't following you doesn't mean that that feeling is true. Amen. Because just the fact that you're a child of God, that means that to a certain level that there is goodness and mercy following you around. He says that in his word. And it don't matter if you're feeling it or if you're not feeling it. The feelings have to bow down at the name of Jesus. And there's times where you got to tell you and all your personalities that, hey, we're going to all get on board with what the word of God says. And the word of God says that no matter what, I'm going to come out on top, that I'm the apple of his eye, that he loves me and that he promised victory for me. We speak too many things. We self-prophesy too many things. And then we wonder why the bad comes. Well, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And believers need to, more than ever before, clean up their speech and clean up their profession and their confession. We need to clean up our heart. We need to let come out of our mind what the Word of God tells us. If you sit there and you watch the news and then you hate life, guess what? Stop watching the news. Amen? Do you know how much depression comes out of the everyday news watcher? Too much. Too much. Now, I'm not going to go to meddling. Pastor told us not to watch the news. No, that's not what I said. I said if it causes you depression, to stop watching it. Do you need any more depressing things in your life?
No.
No, you don't. Me neither. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore, so because I've remembered what God did, because I remembered what He said, I can have hope. Yet this I call to mind in the hard moments, in the battles, in the crisis, in the times where it doesn't look like it's going to work out. You need to begin to call some things back to your memory. What are the things? Well, the Word tells us to renew our mind. You need to remember the last big storm that the Lord got you out of and that He brought you through, and you need to meditate on that, and you need to get it deep down inside of your soul that you know that all things are going to work out for the good of those that love God, to those that are the called according to His purpose, according to what He has for us. See, there is no way on God's green earth that He's got disaster for you. But I'm going to tell you, there's sometimes that it rains on the just, it rains on the unjust. We don't live in a perfect world, but there is a perfect Creator. There is a perfect promise that no matter what you go through, there is a God that's going to make sure that you're okay at the end. I'm not telling you that there is not heartache. I cannot preach that because of the verse that says in this life, you're going to have trials and you're going to have tribulation. See, any pastor that wants to preach to you a gospel that you're never going to struggle after you get saved, they shouldn't be preaching. But what I can tell you in a guaranteed thing in sleep at night is that my God shall supply all of your needs according to what He has, according to His riches, His glory. See, it's not according to what you've got. Amen. God loves to be good to His children. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore, because I've called it to mind, where does the devil attack you first? In your mind. In your mind. That's why it's very important for you to live out this verse. Yet this I call to mind. I remember what God did. And because I've got a good memory about what He did, I know that He's got me with whatever in the world's got stolen my peace. Amen? God has a perfect track record when it comes to you. God has a perfect track record when it comes to you. And people want to say, well, then why did He let this happen and why did He let that happen? A lot of times I've learned in life, and don't get me to try to explain it, but many times the thing that hurt the most turned out to be the biggest blessing. Amen. There was something that Dad said on Wednesday night. He said, you know, I choose to believe some of the things that I still can't understand and comprehend. There are things, how many of you with me, you say, you know, there's things about God and there's things about life I don't understand, but I choose to believe in a good God. Amen. See, you can get too legalistic with things and try to wrap your mind around certain things. I don't believe that our human mind can wrap ourselves around what God truly is in its entirety down here on this earth. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. I want to preach about this for a moment. God's love and goodness does not hinge or hang on what it is that you're ashamed of. We all have things that we wish we didn't do, or that we wish we never said, or that we wish never happened. Everybody has those things. And sometimes people feel disqualified from the promises of God and His goodness and His love and His mercy because we got things up in the skeleton closet that we pray to God nobody ever finds out about them. I'm going to tell you what to do with those things. Get them under the blood of Jesus and walk away a free person after you've done that. Because God loves you no matter what you did. I'm going to say that one more time. I may say it more times because somebody really needs to hear that. God loves you no matter what you did. Amen. God's promises are for you no matter what it is that you've done wrong. Am I giving you a free pass to go sin it up? No, I'm not. You better stop sinning if you know you're doing that and it's wrong. Because God will deal with you. Those that He loves, He chastises, and no correction is pleasant at the time. But God's goodness isn't hinging off of what you did that you're ashamed of. God loves His kids. How many of you have your own natural children here? You're a parent. Do you love your children any less because of the dumb things they've done? No. Do we choose to starve them out and not buy them groceries because they flubbed up in math class? No. Mine's living proof. He is very healthy. I got a very healthy younger child. We're gonna work on that this summer. I'm trying to get y'all to lighten up. I'm getting you kind of there. God loves you no matter what, and because of His great love, not because of anything that you did or anything that you didn't do, but because He loves you, because of His great love, you are not consumed. What does that mean? Because He loves you so much, He has not allowed something to come in and consume you. Now, once again, you may feel like you're being consumed, and I'm going to remind you again, that feeling is not a fact because God will not allow you to be taken under. You may feel it, but you're going to have to cast down every imagination, every thought that says that you ain't going to make it. And you've got to start proclaiming the Word of God. And you have to say, I'm an overcomer.
Amen.
I'm an overcomer. I'm a victor. I'm the apple of God's eye. I'm His child, and because I'm His child, He has goodness and mercy and love for me. It's following me every day of my life. I love this part. Verse 23. They are new every morning. What's new? His goodness and His mercy. His love, His patience for you, His compassions for you. They are new every morning. What does that mean? Number one, it means they're available to you. And number two, it means that not only are they available to you each morning, but that they're brand new. But that they're brand new. How many of you realize that our earthly relationships with people, you don't get to start out on a clean slate with somebody new ever day. There's some people, and you done something one too many times, and they... They ain't like God. They're you ain't starting out clean with them, at least not this week. Okay? I get it. You get to start fresh. And I'm going to tell you this too. They're new every morning, but also they're new every moment. They're new every moment that you need it. People say, oh, I've already messed up today. I'm going to give you an illustration. Who just loves to be on a diet? Me neither. The other morning, where's Jeremiah? Jeremiah, you're going to laugh about this. I said it in my heart. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is very weak. But I told myself, thou shalt not, Kelly, have a Dr. Pepper today. And by 9 o'clock, I'm pretty sure I transformed into the devil or something. And I was like, and I broke down, and by 10 o'clock I had one. And instead of feeling bad about that, you know what I said to myself, April? I made it till 10, and on most days I've had it already. I'm going to keep working on that. Amen? But they're new every morning, and I tell you that they're new every moment. If you get in a day and it's just a soured up day and you want to start over, stop right there and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You this is starting over right now in Jesus' name. I remember one time it's funny the things that your children remember. But I remember that Dad and I, many, many years ago, I was a very young adult. I was in my very early 20s. And him and I, we were driving to Clarksville, and we were almost fixing to go over that big bridge. And he pulled the truck over, and I could tell he was having a bad day. Me and him are very alike, and if we're having a bad day, we're going to wear that bad day. Our mannerisms, everything. And he pulled that truck over, and it taught me something. He pulled it over, and he said, "Father, in Jesus' name, I'm in the wrong spirit, and God, I ask that you would put me in the right spirit for the rest of the day." Yes. See, you get to start over anytime that you choose. Yes. Sometimes we're on a diet, and we're like, "Well, I done messed up for today. I'm going to wallow up in it." No. If you usually eat five Little Debbies, and you just did two, praise God. Amen. Amen. But you can start over. God loves you, and God is good to his kids. Great is your faithfulness. God is a faithful, faithful God. Sometimes we don't feel like we deserve God's goodness and mercy because we feel guilt and shame about something that's gone on in our life. And you know what? Guilt and shame for the believer doesn't have any place in your life. No place. God's faithful. God is a faithful God. Go with me to Psalms chapter 27. We're going to look at verse 13. Psalms chapter 27, verse 13. Psalms chapter 27, verse 13, it says, "I am still confident of this." There's some things that as God's child, you need to be very confident in. And the fact that he loves you should be one of them. The fact that he's good to you should be one of them. The fact that his mercies are new for you every morning is one of them. The fact that he's faithful without fault should be one of them. I am still confident of this, and I love this verse. It says, "I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." I am confident. I am for sure. I know that beyond the shadow of a doubt that I'm going to see the goodness of God. I'm going to see the goodness of God. Some of you came here and you're in a battle. You're in a struggle. I'm going to tell you, out of your mouth, you need to start confessing, "God, in the name of Jesus, I am confident that I am going to see your goodness at the end of the day with this thing. God, I know that you will never fail. God, you don't have failure. It's not even a part of your character. And God, because of that, Lord, I get to go on in this day and I can have joy and I can have peace and I can be comforted knowing that you will not fail. God, I am sure that your goodness is going to seep out all throughout this situation. Father, in the name of Jesus, what the devil meant for harm, God, you're going to turn it around, and God, it's going to become the biggest blessing that I've ever had in my life. Lord, you haven't brought me this far to let me fail. God, you haven't brought my family this far to let everything just fall apart. Lord, I am confident of this. Your goodness is going to come out somewhere, sometime. God, I'm not leaving you because it hasn't happened yet. God, I'm going to stay faithful to you because, God, you've been faithful to me. You know, God ain't never left you, not even one time. He's never been late for you, not even one time. Not once. Now, your feelings may get in the way of that fact. Well, God didn't cause me to win the lottery yet. Well, I don't know what to tell you. Keep believing for it. I don't know. Pray on it. Pray over it. Pray for it. Pray about it. Turn it over to God. I'm confident. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Verse 14 gives some of the best instruction. I don't call it advice. When the Word of God tells you something, it's not advice. It is instruction. And too many believers aren't taught that it's not advice. It's instruction. Wait for the Lord. If you haven't seen goodness coming out of the circumstance yet, you need to wait. Now, if the sin got you in the circumstance and you're still sinning, God can't bless that. Okay? But if you're going along in your way and there is something that came up, God got you. Now, if sin got you in a pickle like sin does, and you stop and you say, Lord, my sin has got me here, and right now I turn it over to you, and God, I ask that you would forgive me. God has the legal right to come up into that situation, into that mess, and he has the right to come in and turn it around and still work it for your good. Amen. See, God's goodness, it's going to follow you wherever you go. There's some things that you can do and not do that hinders it, but there is an amount of goodness that will follow you around no matter what. Amen. Go with me now to Psalms chapter 23. Verse 6, we're going to look at this again. And it says, surely goodness and love will follow me all of the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, when I said that the word should be challenging, it is. Now, we're going to talk about a subject that I've probably spoke about maybe 5 times in the past 7 years. And for whatever reason, God's having me to bring it up today. Now, the same pastor that will tell you that God wants to bless you has got to be the same pastor that says the rest of the book. One of the number one things that people are affected by, and that one of the number one things that people pray about to God, is the area of their finances. Do you agree? Okay. Now I'm going to explain this, and I'm going to put this just in the best way that I can. If I'm going to preach healing, I'm going to preach tithing. And those of you that know me, you know how very little I bring it up. But as I was preparing the message, God said, you need to bring this up because there's some people that there's an amount of goodness that I want to release into their life, but they have not honored me in their finances. Now, if you're offended right now, I'm not going to apologize about that. But what I am going to do is I'm going to show you some things in His Word. And no, this is not a message about tithing. This is a message about goodness. It's a message about goodness. Goodness and mercy follow me. They follow you. But the obedience that you walk in, the amount of obedience that you decide to walk in for your life, determines how much room that you make for the goodness to operate in your life. Obedience positions us to experience certain things from the Lord. Go with me now to Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Now listen. How many of you know when you go to the doctor, what do you go there for? You go there because you want them to tell you what's wrong with you. And here's what they're going to tell you. Don't get offended about this either. Unless you're 100 pounds, they're going to tell you that you're fat. Is that right? And if you're smoking, they're going to tell you that's bad too. And if you drink and smoke, they're going to tell you that's really bad. I know this because I worked in the medical field for 15 years. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. I don't want you to tense up ever when tithe is brought up. Don't tense up. Don't get offended. I want you to hear the good part about it. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And test me in this. Test me in this. I'm going to read that one more time. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. Some people would say, Pastor Kelly, I can't afford to bring the whole tithe. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Start somewhere. Start somewhere. And what I've learned in my life is that you can't afford not to tithe. Amen. See, a lot of pastors, they would not talk to you about tithe, and that's because they want to fill their pews. Look here, I want to fill heaven, and I want people to be as blessed in their finances as they can be. And people can't be blessed when they're holding back something that belongs to God. You don't pay your tithes. See, a bill is something that you pay. But tithe is something that belongs to God, and it's a release. Amen. God, it's yours. Here you go. You can't afford not to tithe. And you know what? I understand that it's difficult because sometimes it's difficult for me. But I'm going to tell you something. Because God is exactly who he says he is, God always makes a way. Amen. And if you will honor him in your finances, if you will make that covenant with him in your finances, you will see a difference. I love God's word. This is the one time that I am aware of in his word that God, the creator, tells you as his kids, as his people that he walks in covenant with, test me. Test me. What does that mean? Challenge me. Put me to the test. God himself says, bring the tithe in, and I want you to test me. I want you to test me in this. Because there's promises that he gives in the test. And here's what he does. He says, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Now, I'm going to tell you what tithing is not, because people get confused. And once again, if this is making you uncomfortable, that's a sign that there's a place of growth right here in this topic. Don't get mad at me. I love you. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't preach it. I can promise you that. Tithing does not buy God's goodness. It doesn't buy it. You already have God's goodness. But there is a covenant in there. When you make that with the Lord in your finances, there are blessings, and he describes them right here in the verse that happens when the child of God is obedient to the word of God. When you release your tithe, God has the legal right to release back into your life, and he promises to do these things. Throw open the floodgates of heaven. Pour out so much blessing that you don't have room enough for it. I will prevent the pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit. Tithing puts us in alignment for provision, protection, and increase. Tithing is obedience, trust, worship, and partnership with God's kingdom. Now, can I share some things out of my personal life, and people try not to get offended about this. The word says that he will rebuke the devourer. That's one of the promises for the tither, is that he rebukes Satan from devouring what is ours. Now, last week, and I'm not going to tell every detail because my husband's got a testimony that he needs to share at some point, probably tonight during testimony night. Don't know.
No pressure.
But he was driving along, and he started passing somebody, and this person had a truck and a trailer, and something wasn't hooked up right. And so when this person put their blinker on that they were turning left, that blinker didn't show. And my wonderful, sweet, precious husband that I love was going to pass this person. And he did. But as he saw that big truck and trailer going to make a left-hand turn, well, he was right there up in the middle of that. And he had two options: hit them and probably get very hurt, or go in the ditch for about a half a mile. He chose the ditch. I don't think even a scratch on his sweet little bald head. The vehicle still running. Sometimes the goodness of God is in the things that don't happen. Amen. You don't think the devil's got some bad things in store for people that you love? He sure does. I want to walk as close of a covenant with him as I can. And I got off the phone after he told me that, and I was just a shaking. And I began to think, well, what would have happened? We would have had to replace the vehicle, or we did this, and we did that. And is he okay? Is he really okay? Or is he bleeding somewhere, and he's just telling me he's fine? Because he does that, so I won't worry. But I thought, you know what, God, you did not allow the devourer to come up into our life. You didn't allow it. You don't think God's got ministering angels all around you and all about you? He does. You need to walk closely aligned with the Word of God and what it tells you to do in every single area that you can. That was one thing. Another thing. Don't tell me God don't love Logan County. God loves Logan County. Last year, we had a children's event, and we served 426 children, and we gave them all food and groceries, tons of them, to where they had to, like, make three trips back and forth to the car. And we're doing that again this year. Now, last year, a certain place gave us 4 pallets of food. And so that's what I was expecting. God will top what you expect, I promise you. So we get there, and, well, I don't get there. Thank God I got you, M.O. Pray. Praise you, God, Lord Jesus in heaven. Thank you, God. Because if Pastor Kelly has to start driving the forklift, we all in for some entertainment, and God only knows what else. But Jim texted me, and he said, how many pallets were we supposed to get? And I said, well, she said maybe 6, but we got 4 last year. And he said, well, you got 9. Now, look. Goodness and mercy are going to follow you. They don't have a choice. I will tell you as your pastor, somebody that loves you and prays for you a lot. Follow his word. If me speaking a little bit on the tithing pricked you, then it's fitting for you. I can't apologize for it because the day that I do, God don't need me doing this. Sometimes the goodness is what didn't happen. It's the doors that were closed that you were hoping were not closed. You know, sometimes it's the things that you wanted so bad and God didn't allow them because he knew that would be the thing that would do you in. Can I brag just a little bit more on the Lord? Please don't get offended at me. Please don't do that. Friday. How many of y'all like to go shopping? I love it. I love shopping, but I'm getting to the point where I don't like to do it in person. I like to just order it. I don't know what's happening to me, but I'm like, you know what? I like to just order these things. Well, there were some things that we needed. And we couldn't just order them. And it seemed like all day long, God's goodness followed Frank and I. Followed us. And I reflected on that. And I said, God, you were so good to us today. Thank you. Thank you for being good to us. God didn't skip a beat, Kayla. You know what he said? Kayla, you're a tither. Once again, if that offends you, that's because it's fitting for you. Matthew chapter 7. Actually, James chapter 1. And I want to brag on somebody else. Where's my little Kimber? Come here, Kimber, come here, baby. This kid, I'm so proud of her. We need to do what God tells us to do as much as we can. And I'm going to tell you something. The Word tells us to train up your children in the way that they should go. And when they're older, they won't depart. Now, I'm going to tell you something. They may think about departing. Kids are rebellious, and you were too when you were a kid, right? Probably. There ain't no sport. There ain't no activity. There ain't no nothing going on that should keep you out of church on a regular basis. Amen. Amen? Now, we teach here to put God first. Why? Because there's a verse in the Bible that says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things shall be added. There's too many believers wanting the second step to happen when they haven't done the first step. Seek God first. Put him first. God wants to be first in your life. Now, this little kid done got her first job. That should be clapping material. And on her job application, she said, I need to be off for church service. This kid has more character and integrity than most adults. Now, am I saying that it's a sin to work during church? No, I'm not. But I'm saying if what you think keeps you out of church on a regular basis and people can't make one church service, that's an issue. She said, it's important that I be there because I'm in the choir and I have a job to do for my church. And I take phone calls on a regular basis. Well, I just didn't feel like it. And you know what, Kimber? Your character and integrity that you've learned over the last few years, they've set you up for success. Amen. Now, here's one thing that I will say. When I tell you to honor God in all, I can't not preach Proverbs 3 and verse 5 and 6 either. Acknowledge Him in all of your ways and He'll make your path straight. See, we can't ignore the parts of God's Word that we don't like. And there's parts of God's Word that I don't like because they convict me. Hold on, we're not done. Now, Kimber, here's one thing that God put on my heart, and in Cabrin too. When we buy our children a car, we need to dedicate those cars and pray over those cars and speak that hedge of protection over our children's vehicles, over our vehicles, over all of it. Because at the end of the day, before that's your car, that's God's car. God don't want nothing unholy happening in the car. He wants you safe. All of those things. But I'm not going to leave nothing out. Now this kid, she also, I can brag on the kids because you know what? If it's brag worthy, I'm going to brag on it. Because children, one of the things that they need to know is that somebody's proud of them. And I see this little kid the other day. And she was getting out her little money to put in the offering thing. Now, let me tell you something. When I was 7 years old, I had my first job, and it was babysitting the neighborhood kid, and I made 25 cents an hour. And I walked there. And my parents, you can sit down now, embedded in me the principles of God and the importance of releasing the tithe. And I tell you, to this day, I'm a tither. And I am not bragging on me because I'm an idiot without God. And I'm pretty sharp with Him. Align yourself with His Word. Go with me to James chapter 1. Verse 16 and 18. James chapter 1, verse 16 and 18. And it says this, don't be deceived, my dear brothers. So when the Word tells you don't be deceived or don't believe something that's not the truth, and then He explains what you're not to be deceived about. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. When everything in the world is changing as it is, the one thing that you can count on is God. And that's why you don't need to be deceived. You don't need to call it luck. And I don't believe in karma. That's dumb. Every good and perfect gift is from God. When something has happened, when catastrophe was avoided, it's never luck, it is God. The Word tells us, don't be deceived. Every good thing in your life, that came from God. I hear a lot of believers say silly things, and I'm like, we need to get that profession out of our mouth. No, it ain't luck. Oh, I'm lucky. No, you're not. You're blessed. It ain't luck. Ain't got nothing to do with nothing. You're blessed because you're God's kid. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Go with me now to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to look at verse 7 through 11. We're talking about this morning the goodness of God. It's a good thing to reflect at the end of each day. Where was God good to me today? You know, God is good in ways that you never even know about. When you're behind someone slow and your patience is wearing thin, God's probably protecting you from a disaster 5 miles ahead of you. Amen. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. See, some people, you think, well, God knows what I need. Yes, he does. But he tells you in his word to ask. The word also says, you have not because you ask not. If there's something from God that you need, or even something that you want, ask him. Ask him. Some of the goodness from God, God's just waiting for you to ask. If there's something in your life that's lacking, you need to ask God for it. For everyone, this is why, for everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, and know that God is not calling us evil, but though you are human, know how to give good gifts to your children, or know how to be a good parent to your earthly children. See, if we know that, how much more does God know? God's the best father. How much more will your heavenly Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask? To those who ask. Some of the goodness is waiting. And what you need to do is you need to ask. You need to ask. Paul, this Paul, I want you to come up here. Because there's something that I've meant to do. And your mother is very sick right now, is she not? What is her name?
Tara.
Okay. A part of the goodness of God is healing. Y'all stretch your hands up here. Paul, put this in your hand. You and I are going to pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over Tara right now. God, you know exactly where she's sitting right now. And Father, you said in your word, Lord, that by your stripes, we are healed. And right now, I speak a healing to come into that body in the name of Jesus. Body, I tell you to line up with the word and be every bit whole in the name of Jesus. I speak to the medical reports right now, and I tell them to be clean and full of a healthy person right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. You give that to your mama. Now, if there is a place in your life right now, and you say, I need only the goodness that God could give. See, if your mama could give it to you, she'd have probably done it. But if there's somewhere and you say, I need the goodness of God in this circumstance or this situation or this or that, I'm going to ask you to stand, because we have not because we ask not. And place that thing in your heart. And I'm going to ask you to take it a step further. And I'm going to ask you to ask God. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you that all over the place right now, Father, we're making our requests known to you. God, you're a faithful God. And I thank you for the breakthrough that's coming right now in Jesus' name. Lord, where the word was challenging today, God, I ask that you would help us to live it out in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Y'all, there is a box of food for each household. You can go through this white door right here. Please grab it.